Picture a CEO on his first day in the corner office, frantically searching for a plunger because the executive bathroom toilet is clogged. That humbling moment, Richard Starnes trying to fix a toilet without anyone knowing, captures something profound about leadership we've forgotten. We've built an entire industry around leadership secrets, productivity hacks, and success formulas. Yet, what if the most transformative leadership insight isn't a technique at all, but a complete surrender of ego? This isn't another book promising to make you a better boss by Friday. It's a challenge to everything our culture teaches about power, success, and what it means to lead. At a time when headlines overflow with corporate scandals and abuses of authority, this approach offers something radical. Leadership that matters not because it wins, but because it transforms, starting with the leader themselves. Here's an uncomfortable truth. Most of us have confused our careers with our calling. We treat our job title like our identity, our company's mission like our life's purpose. But there's a deeper assignment underneath all the meetings and deadlines. Think of it like being an undercover agent. Your career is just your cover story. Your real mission? Bringing the values of compassion, integrity, and justice into whatever space you occupy. This isn't about preaching in the break room or putting Bible verses in your email signature. It's about embodying a different way of being that makes people curious. Surrender sounds like defeat, yet powerful leaders operate from a place of having already given everything away. When you surrender your ambitions, reputation, and outcomes to something larger than yourself, you become free from the desperate need to be right and the fear that makes you defensive. Consider clay at a pottery studio, thrown on a wheel, shaped by pressure, fired at extreme temperatures to burn out impurities. We resist this process, clinging to our plans. But when leaders stop fighting for their own agenda and ask, "What's needed here?" something shifts. They become calm in chaos, generous in scarcity, humble in success. When coworkers see someone who doesn't panic during crises, who treats the janitor with the same respect as the VP, who admits mistakes without deflecting, they're witnessing something countercultural. When a leader has nothing left to prove and nothing left to lose, they become genuinely dangerous to systems built on fear. That's the paradox. Surrender doesn't make you weaker, it makes you unstoppable. What if we've been measuring success all wrong? We fixate on outcomes, the promotion, the revenue target, the market share. But excellence isn't about winning. It's about bringing your best to what's in front of you. Consider a marathon. Out of 40,000 runners, only 2 win. Are the other 39,998 losers? Each runner defines success differently: finishing their first race, beating a personal record, running despite injury. They celebrate because they gave their best effort. This distinction transforms leadership. Focusing solely on results creates cultures of shame where people hide mistakes and avoid risks. Celebrating excellent effort sparks innovation, collaboration, and often better results. It's the difference between a coach who screams at players for losing versus one who asks, "Did you leave everything on the field?" One creates fear, the other builds resilience. This approach raises standards rather than lowering them. It says, "I expect your absolute best, and when you give that, you've succeeded in what matters most." Stop being enslaved to winning, and you'll achieve far more than fear-driven leadership ever could. Love in leadership means seeing people as fully human, valuable beyond their productivity. When you genuinely care about someone's well-being, not just their output, trust and loyalty deepen naturally. After 2011, Syrian refugees fled to Lebanon, the very country Syria had brutally occupied for 30 years until just 6 years earlier. Yet, Lebanese churches opened their doors with shocking compassion. As one pastor explained, "Because of the love of Christ we carry in our hearts, we assist them. We don't care what happened in the past. If love can bridge that chasm, it can transform your workplace." Practically, this means learning about your team beyond their roles. What are their kids' names? What keeps them up at night? Before each workday, commit to patience, kindness, and genuine care, not as tactics, but as expressions of seeing people as their creator does. But love without integrity becomes mere sentimentality. Early in his career, a young professional interviewed at a company, meeting executives and directors. At lunch, they sent him with Clint, a lower-level analyst. When hired, his boss revealed, "You passed the Clint test. We wanted to see if you were a jerk when your guard was down." That's integrity, consistent character whether anyone's watching or not.
Leaders with integrity create cascading positive effects. Trust flourishes, fear diminishes, collaboration increases, productivity improves. Those lacking it create toxic environments where people watch their backs and cover mistakes. Recent corporate scandals, from pharmaceutical companies pushing opioids to banks creating fake accounts, trace back to leadership valuing results over principles. Integrity isn't just avoiding lies. It's how you treat people across power differentials. Do you speak to the receptionist with the same respect as the board chair? Do you admit mistakes or deflect blame? When revenue and ethics conflict, which wins? One leader discovered his organization had misled donors about seed packets supposedly sent to African farmers. Though the money still helped farmers, the deception was unacceptable. He established a non-negotiable principle. You might not lose your job if you miss revenue goals, but you will if you compromise our integrity. That clarity, integrity always trumps short-term gains, defines cultures where people trust the ground beneath their feet. Leadership is terrifying. It's easier to follow, avoiding the criticism and risk that come with uncertainty. Courage isn't fearlessness. It's doing what's right despite the fear. When one leader encountered three orphaned boys after losing both parents to AIDS, he knew his organization had to respond. But in the early 2000s, AIDS was stigmatized, especially in Christian circles. His marketing team warned, "This is an R-rated issue and we're a G-rated ministry." Research showed only 3% of evangelical donors would help AIDS orphans. Despite the data and fierce criticism, they launched a 5-year campaign that helped change attitudes and assisted millions across Africa. What makes courage possible? Faith. Not blind optimism, but trust that when you're doing something that truly matters, you're not alone. Think about watching a recorded game when you already know your team won. You watch calmly through tense moments because you know the outcome. Faith provides confidence about how the larger story ends, not certainty about the next quarter. Fear will always be present. Courage is choosing to move forward anyway. Our culture worships success. The corner office, the viral moment, the impressive title. We've created a gospel of success that measures worth by achievement. But what if faithfulness, showing up with integrity, serving with excellence in obscurity, using influence to lift others, is the real victory? Consider a pastor and his wife who served a small college town church for 50 years. No megachurch, no best-selling books, just weekly sermons, student counseling, and quiet hospitality. They influenced hundreds of students who impacted thousands, ripples spreading far beyond what they could see. Or Mother Teresa, who, despite global recognition, saw herself as merely a little pencil in the hand of a writing God, sending a love letter to the world. This reframe is liberating. You're not responsible for building an empire or achieving fame. You're responsible for being faithful with what's in front of you, the team you lead, the decisions you make, the culture you create. Success might come, it might not. Either way, you've done what matters. That CEO who fixed the toilet learned something. Despite his title and corner office, he was no more special than anyone else, just a person trying to be faithful with the influence he'd been given. In the end, that's all any of us can do. And somehow, it's enough.